appreciate the sweet spirit of the Lord that's ministering to our hearts. I want you to take your Bible tonight and turn with us to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter number 5. Revelation, chapter number 5. Thank you so much, Brother Younger, for inviting us. I've enjoyed being here, and I appreciate the mercies of the Lord getting us here. He'd asked me about 3 nights, and I had another night booked tomorrow night, but I certainly appreciate these nights of being here with you, and I hope that you'll pray for us, that we would give you just exactly what the Lord wants us to have tonight. I've been battling all of this, ragweed and everything else. I'm not 100%, but the fact of it is, he don't need me, but we sure do need him. So let's pray he'll show up and get the job done. Amen, amen. Thank you for the singing tonight. All of it was a blessing. All of it was. And I praise God for the sweet spirit of the Lord ministering to our hearts tonight. Take your Bible now and stand with us, please, as I read just one verse tonight in Revelation chapter number 5 and verse number 6. John says, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth." Let me read verse 7. "And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne." Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in your presence tonight. I want to thank you again, Lord, for the privilege to be here, gathered together with the people of God. We've gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he said where 2 or 3 were gathered in his name, he'd be there in the midst. Lord, we welcome you. We want to worship you. We want to ask you to have your perfect will and way with each of us. I pray, God, that you'd breathe on us tonight of your spirit and power. Thank you, Lord, for the worship. Lord, it's already taken place. But, oh, God, I pray we'll continue to catch a clear glimpse of our lovely Lord. And I pray we'll worship him and adore him, Lord, in a way, God, that'll stir our hearts and make us better men and women for God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us now, anoint thy servant. Lord, give us power and unction from thee. Without you, Lord, we'd do absolutely nothing. And as I said a while ago, Lord, you don't need me, but I sure do need you. I pray you'd help me, God, as only you can. And I'll praise you for all you do for us. Help this congregation to receive the good word of God and make the application in their hearts. And Lord, get done that to bring honor and glory to Jesus our Lord. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And thank you. You may be seated. I want to preach tonight on the subject of the Lamb in the midst of the throne. In this throne scene in heaven, we find a search has been made for someone worthy to take the 7 sealed scroll from the right hand of Almighty God. Away from the throne, a search is made in heaven and in earth and even under the earth and even in hell. No one is found worthy. At this point, we see John the Beloved begins to weep because none was found worthy. But at this point, we find that there was an elder spoke to John and said, "Weep not, for behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to take the book and to loose the seals thereof." John turns to see a lion, but instead he sees the Lamb of God. Amen. see a lion, but saw a lamb, not just an ordinary lamb, but a lamb as it had been slain. And I want to talk about the lamb tonight. I didn't come to promote me. I didn't come to promote my church. I didn't come to promote the Baptist. I didn't come, amen, to promote an association. I come to magnify the Lamb of God. Oh, thank God for the Lamb. John Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." I'm glad, hallelujah, for the Lamb of God I worship and I adore. And I want to catch a fresh glimpse of Him tonight. And I would to God that every one of us could look beyond this poor, pitiful preacher and get our eyes focused on Him who's altogether lovely, on our lovely Lord Jesus, who is the Lamb of God. I want to tell you, I think about the Lamb. Brother and sisters, we look in the text here. I want to mention a few things to you here. Number one, I want to speak about this. Notice, if you will, the position of the Lamb. The position of Him. The Bible said, in the midst of the throne. Yes, sir. I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, in the middle of it. He's not an outsider. He's, my friend, has a place and part in the throne. So no one outside of the realm of deity, nobody outside the realm of divine rulership was found worthy to take the book. But, brother and sister, here within the realm of deity is one found worthy. He is none other than God the Son. Amen. He is the Lamb of God. The position of the Lamb. I thought about, you know, the Lamb being in the midst here. Hey, man, if you look in these two chapters, in chapter 4 and chapter 5, you can see Him in the middle of things. He's not on the circumference. My friend, He's right smack dab in the middle of stuff. Amen. In fact, He's right here in the middle of this meeting tonight. How do you know that? Because He said He would. And I never found Him to say something He'd do that He didn't do. Amen. He's here. You say, "I don't see Him." Hey, I have faith focuses on Him, but He made a promise, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be where? In the midst. Notice here, if you will, you see the Lamb of God in the midst. I see Him in chapter 4 in verse 3. I see the colors around Him. Oh yeah, the rainbow around Him. And that rainbow's completed. That rainbow speaks of the grace of God. And I'm glad He's brought grace to every one of us. But we'll realize grace forever. Amen. In heaven when we get there. What a day. The colors around Him. I thought about the cabinet around Him. In chapter 4 and verse 4, the 24 elders, my friend, around Him. I thought about the cherubim around Him. Amen. Yes, sir. And crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Oh yes, the cherubim around Him. I thought about in this chapter of the congregation around Him. In chapter 5 and verse 8 and 9, you have the redeemed saints. Amen. All the redeemed at every kindred and tongue and tribe. Oh yeah, I'm telling you what, they're there singing praises to the Lamb, to the Lamb. Amen. I think about the millions of angels around Him. In chapter 5 and verse 11, I think about all creatures around Him. In chapter 5 and verse 13, I'm telling you what, they're around Him. He's in the midst. He's in the midst. Hey, at Calvary, where was He at? He's the man on the middle cross. Amen? Oh, yes. see him not only at Calvary in the midst, but I see him in the midst of cowering disciples in his resurrection when they're hiding out, my friend, there at the house. And Jesus stood where? In the midst. Amen. I see him in the midst of those that congregate in his name. I see him in the midst of the golden candlesticks referring to his churches. I see him in the midst of control, because in our text, he is in the midst of the throne. Read our text verse here again. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. A lamb. The position of the lamb. And I want to mention number two, the personage of the lamb. The lamb is none other than God the Son, manifest in the flesh. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Oh yes, that's who he is, the Lamb of God. John saw him. You know, Abraham and Isaac were going up the mountain, and God told Abraham, go offer his son, his only son whom he loved. By the way, that's the first time you find love in the Bible. And the first time you find love in the Bible has to do, my friend, with an only son. Isn't that something? That makes John 3:16 seem bigger to me. But anyway, there on that mountain, God let Abraham spare his son. But on Calvary's mountain, God didn't spare his son, but delivered him up for us all, the just for the unjust, thank God. But remember, going up that mountain, Isaac said to his father, said, Dad, my father said, here's the fire and here's the wood, but where is the lamb? And God's man, Abraham, said, God shall provide himself a lamb. And that's what he did. He provided himself a lamb. And Romans 8 tells us that he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he also with him freely give us all things? You see, God spared Abraham's son, but he didn't spare his own son, but he delivered us up. Hey, Abraham's son that he loved got spared, but God's son that he loved was not spared. But the wrath of God was poured on him in our behalf. And here we see the Lamb, my friend. And may I say about this Lamb that he is God the Son. And only God the Son was worthy to take from the right hand of God the Father the seven sealed scroll. Only God could occupy the place, the preeminence, the prominence and position of being in the midst of the throne. Hey, Jesus is no less God than God the Father, and no less God than God the Holy Ghost. Jesus is 100% God. At the same time, he's 100% man. Hey, he hadn't always been man, but he's always been God. There was a time, my friend, when he was God the Son, but there came that glorious day in the fullness of time. God sent forth his Son, born of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that are under the curse of the law. And God became man. Oh, my soul, he's God. Hey, the Son of God became Son of Man, that we fallen sons of men might be made the sons of God. I'm glad to tell you that he's God. If you don't believe in the absolute deity of Christ, you don't, my friend, know God. You've never been born again. He that confesses not that he's the Son of God, my friend, is as lost as a goose. Say amen right there. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. I couldn't explain it. Hey, I don't think I could explain any of the thoughts of God really in its entirety, my friend, but I want to tell you what, I believe it. Amen. Hey. I can't tell you how come a black cow can eat green grass and give white milk and yellow butter. But ain't going to keep me from the milk and butter. Amen. Hey, I believe Jesus is absolute God. Amen. Hey, you know, years ago, back in the third century, my friend, I'm talking about back yonder, my friend, when men studied about God in the early days of the church age. My friend, there was one who was called Saint Athanasius. And he had heard those that had heard the Apostle John. And man, he wrote something. It's called the Creed of Saint Athanasius. And boy, I got the first time I ever run up on this. Ralph Sexton Sr. read it when I was about a teenage boy, and I had three fits and a quare spell, and all he did was read it. And it blessed my soul. I want to read a little bit of it. I can't read it all. I want to read a little bit about it. My friend, I want to tell you what again, that Jesus is God. He's just as much God as God the Father. He's just as much God as God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you what, we're not serving a half man, half God. We're serving one who is God manifest in the flesh, Emmanuel. He became something he never had been before. I want to tell you something else that's even better than that. By soul, he continues to be what he became. Well, how's that blessing you? There is a man at God, whoopee, right hand, who maketh intercession for us. The Bible said there's one God and one mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. As being God, Almighty God, he could reach and take the hand of God. Amen. And fellowship with God and commune with God, because he was God on the same level with God. But man's way over here. Ain't no way man can pick ourselves up to get ourselves over there. Hey. But God sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Oh, my soul, when God made the first woman, when God made Eve, my friend, he formed in Eve a womb. Oh, yes. And my friend, out of the womb of woman, there would come the day when God would send his own Son into this world. Oh, yeah. I don't know, I'm going to run this rabbit. It jumped up. And that little book on the chemistry of the blood, Dr. M.R. Dehan mentioned something about the wombs, really impressed me one day. I was reading about that womb. You see, Jesus' blood was not the blood of Adam. He got his body from his mother, but he got his blood from his daddy. And God, Father, was a daddy. Amen. I'm telling you what, the blood of Adam couldn't redeem us. The blood of man couldn't redeem us. It took the blood of God. Amen. Acts chapter 20 talks about the church being redeemed by the blood of God. Now, when God sent forth his Son of a virgin, not a young woman, a virgin. Amen. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. The power of the Holy Ghost overshadowed her. And my friend, there was put in the womb of Mary, the seed of God. Oh, my soul. And my friend, that little embryo that grew to become a man, my friend, a man child, was both God and man. Here's what old Dehan said. Dr. M.R. Dehan was a medical doctor.
And he told this. He said that the womb is so constructed that there is no transference in a normal birth, in a normal situation. There's no transference of the blood of mother to the blood of the baby. God, you say, what are you talking about? Get this. God put a veil in the womb. It was called the placenta. The mother's blood comes through the placenta and dumps off the groceries. The baby's umbilical tail comes to the other side of the placenta and picks up the groceries. But there's no transference of blood. There was none of Mary's blood, my friend, in the blood of the Son of God. I want to tell you what, His blood was the perfect, pure, prevailing, rich, red, royal, redeeming blood of God. Hey, hey, hey. God sent forth His Son. Praise God forever. But I want to say this about Him. My friend, if He hadn't been God, He couldn't have been our Savior. Since He is God, He could touch God. Amen. He could reach God because He was God. But that left me and you here. Hey, so He came to be man. And He became man. As being man, He was tempted at all points like as we are, yet without sin, who did no guile, neither was sin in His mouth. He was wholly harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. Never had a thought of sin. Never had, amen, never did a wrong deed. When it spoke a wrong word, had a wrong attitude. Absolutely holy. But as man, He knew the temptations of man. He felt the pull of it. By He knew the weakness of the flesh. He said, the flesh is weak. Oh, yes. But as being man, He could communicate with man because He was man. And being God, He could reach God. And there on the cross, He had a hand on God and a hand on us. And He bridged the gap. Hallelujah. Had we been reconciled to God. Hey. To be our kinsman redeemer, He had to be akin to us. The Gael or the Goel. Had to be a near kin. That's the only way you could have redemption. A near kin. And He became near kin to us. He just didn't have any sin in Him. He had a body like ours. He had passions like we have. He had, my friend, physical organs. He could feel pain like we do. He was 100% human being. And if He hadn't been that, He couldn't have been our kinsman redeemer. But at the same time, He laid aside His glory. But He didn't lay aside His deity. And He became our substitute, our middleman, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And I'm telling you what, He was absolute God and absolute man at the same time. I was going to read a little bit of this Athanasius Creed. Said, we worship God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confounding the substance of the persons nor dividing the substance. For there is one person of the Father, another of the Son, another of the Holy Ghost. But the Godhead of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Ghost is all one. The glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Ghost. The Father uncreate, the Son uncreate, and the Holy Ghost uncreate. The Father incomprehensible, the Son incomprehensible, and the Holy Ghost incomprehensible. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, and the Holy Ghost eternal. And yet they're not three eternals, but one eternal. So likewise the Father is almighty. The Son is almighty, and the Holy Ghost almighty, And yet they're not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, and the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God. And yet they're not three gods, but one God. Amen. So likewise, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, and the Holy Ghost is Lord. And yet there's not three lords, but one Lord. Amen. He said, the Father is made of none, neither created nor begotten. The Son is of the Father alone, not made nor created, but begotten. The Holy Ghost is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. So there is one Father, not three fathers. One Son, not three sons. One Holy Ghost, not three Holy Ghosts. And in this Trinity, none is afore or after the other. None is greater or less than the other. But the whole three persons are co-eternal together and co-equal, so that in all things, as is aforesaid, we worship the Trinity, unity in Trinity, and the Trinity in unity, we worship the Lord. Hey, that back yonder, bless God, somebody had to do some thinking, amen, and get some revelation from God. I'll tell you what, and I can't understand all of that, but I sure believe it. I just believe Jesus is God. Amen. Hey, if he wasn't God, he would have told Thomas, you're out of line. In his resurrection power, he showed himself to Thomas. Thomas said, my Lord and my God. He is God. I don't care what the Russellites and these Jehovah's false witnesses, they are false witnesses. They do not believe in the essential deity of Christ. And every one of them is lost. You may not be able to explain it or understand it, but if you've been born again, you don't have no trouble with it. Say amen right there. I'm saying Jesus is absolute God. Hey, hey, and only God the Son would be as worthy as God the Father and as worthy as the Holy Ghost. My friend, to hear the continuous praise. Holy, holy, holy. That's holy for the Father, holy for the Son, and holy for the Holy Ghost. Hey, hey, hey. I want to tell you what, that this is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. I mentioned not only the position of the Lamb, the personage of the Lamb. But I want to talk a moment about the peculiarity of this Lamb. Notice again it said, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and the midst of the elders stood a Lamb as it had been slain. Now wait a minute. When you see lambs slain, they're split down the middle and laid out on the altar. But this lamb ain't a laying on no altar. This lamb is doing what? He's a standing. Why? Because he laid his life down, but he didn't stay down. He died to death, but he didn't stay dead. Hallelujah! Up from the grave he arose. He stood up in his resurrection power. I say hallelujah to the Lamb. That's peculiar. That's peculiar language. He looked and saw a lamb as standing. Did you get that? This lamb standing. As it had been slain. Think about this, if you will. Think about the murder. The murder of the Lamb. Did you know Jesus Christ was murdered? You say, you sure about that? I'm sure about that. The word slain here is the Greek word phazo. And phazo means to slaughter, to butcher, to put to death by violence, to murder. Was he murdered? The book says he was. Now, y'all looking at me kind of funny, but let me tell you what the book said in Acts chapter 2. Peter filled with the Holy Ghost, standing preaching to those that day on the day of Pentecost, said, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain." There's your same word, phazo. Murdered him. Hey, they murdered him. What I like about that verse is what it said before they ever got their rotten hands on him. Hey, they thought, "My friend, they are doing what they wanted to do." But I want to tell you, God determined, amen, he was delivered on purpose. God, amen, gave a free will offering of his own son. Him, amen, delivered by the determinate counsel. Hey, let me tell you something, friend. The cross was no afterthought with God. It wasn't something that God had to do because things went terribly wrong. I want to tell you what, before there was earth suspended and suns are shining, he was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world, and God delivered him into their hands. Here's what's amazing to me. God took the worst crime that's ever been done. The murder of his own son. And God took that murder. Oh, this is almost too holy to say. God took that murder and made it the only means of salvation. Oh, my soul. How great is our God's amazing grace, oh, my soul. Took a murder and made it a means of mercy. We all ought to have been in hell. We're all guilty. We're all headed that way. And God took a hate crime. You talk about hate crime. They hated him. They spit on him. They cursed him. They blasphemed him. And they murdered him. But all that next verse says, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. The murder of the Lamb. But think about something else here. Think about the miracle. He's standing. Slain lambs don't stand, friend, unless they've been resurrected. And this one's not only been resurrected, he has ascended. He has been exalted. Amen. He went into the glory world. Hey, running another rabbit here has jumped up. Thinking about on that day of resurrection. You read the four Gospels and try to put them together. Sometimes it looks like they contradict one another, but they don't. No, sir. It gives a full story. Here's kind of what happened. On resurrection morning, before the S-U-N came up, the S-O-N came out. They didn't roll the stone away to let him out. They rolled the stone away to let them in to see where he lay. When he got up from the grave, he stepped through the walls of that tomb in his glorified, resurrected body, put his foot down on the devil's head, reached and got his keys, and cried, "Behold, I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I got the keys of death and hell." Hey, but you know what? When he died on the cross, the Bible said that he, by the Spirit, went to paradise. He told the thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." Paradise in the Old Testament was in the heart of the earth, in Sheol, the heart of the earth, the abode of the dead. Sheol was divided into two compartments back then before the resurrection. Hear that? Before the resurrection, Sheol was divided in two parts. Abraham's bosom, the paradise part, where the faithful saints went. Amen. Like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Isaiah and Jeremiah. Amen. The other part was Tetrarch, the place of torment. Amen. Where the rich man was crying for just a drop of water to cool his tongue. And the great gulf in between them. I can just imagine on the day when Jesus told that thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." The old thief, my friend, amen. They broke his legs and he gave up the ghost. The thief and the other thief, one went to hell, the other went to paradise. I don't know, but I imagine old John Baptist come there after he got beheaded, said, "He's up there, he'll be down here in a few more days." And I believe, my friend, Jesus came into the paradise of God. Amen. Stood there on the great gulf and preached deliverance to those in paradise and damnation to those in hell. And he told that crowd in paradise, said, "Hey, get ready. We're leaving here." Now, wait a minute. When Jesus got up from the grave, he didn't get up by himself. Hey, read Matthew. Many of the saints that slept rose with him. They got up with him. And I just imagine it goes something like this. He told him, he said, "Now y'all just hang around here a while. Some of you show yourselves this bunch of religious bunch and let them have a nervous breakdown. I got to run to the city." He runs through the city. In Psalm 24, you have, my friend, oh yes, the Psalm of the King. You have a picture there that, my friend, looks like similar. Look in Psalm 24. You have a picture of the city. And by the way, that you did know that the city does have gates, right? You do know that one day those gates were closed. They were closed. I want to say this. You got to think about this. Now you go home and study. No man ever went into that city, no man, before Jesus. Even Enoch and Elijah, my friends, somewhere outside the gate, they couldn't go into the city. Why? Because the blood hadn't opened up the way. Now you got to think about that for a while. But here's what I want you to see. Jesus, amen, got up from the grave, got that crowd up with him, showed himself to Mary Magdalene. And she thought he was a gardener, you know. And he said, "Mary, my sheep hear my voice." And she said, "Rabboni!" And would have embraced him, but he said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father and your Father, but go rather and tell my disciples that I'm alive. Touch me not." Now, on the Day of Atonement, the high priest only was permitted to go in behind the second veil. Oh, if anybody touched him, nobody else could be in the tabernacle with him. It was something he had to do alone. This is the great high priest of our profession, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling her, touch me not. I've not yet ascended. What's he going to do? He's taking that blood that he shed here on earth. He's taking it into the glory world. And my friend, up there in heaven, the gates are closed. And there's watchmen on the wall. And they know the Lord has been gone about 33 years. And they're looking back, my friend, with their binoculars toward planet Earth. And then somebody sees somebody coming. He focuses in on him. He's excited. He hollers down to the gatekeeper. Lift up your head, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. That gatekeeper down here hollers back up at him and said, who is the King of glory? He hollers back at him, the Lord mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. He fought the demons and devils and principalities and powers. And at the cross, hallelujah, destroyed him who had the power of death and got up again in his resurrection. He's not coming as a defeated a general, my friend, but as the captain of our salvation, the Lord. Mighty in battle. All right. He goes in. You all right? He walks down Hallelujah Boulevard. Every angel is standing at attention in amazement. He's coming down Hallelujah Boulevard right up to the very throne of God, right up to the very altar, the very pattern that Moses saw. Oh, yeah, in heaven itself. And my friend, he comes to the Father himself. And my friend, there on the very altar in heaven, he presents his blood. The Father looks at the blood, said, that's good enough. Go get them. He makes a quick trip back down. Amen. Now we see the rest of the women see him, and they embrace him and they hold him. You see, there's no contradiction. He doesn't go in and offer the blood. He's come back now showing himself. He's able now to be touched because the blood's already been offered. Wait a minute, don't stop reading there in Psalm 24. Because it goes on again and says, lift up your head. And they do that again. So they close the doors. He runs. He goes back to earth. He can move quick, quick as a thought. Goes back to earth. They close the doors. This gatekeeper's up there watching. And all of a sudden he sees somebody coming. In fact, he sees a whole lot of somebody's coming. And he cries, lift up your head, O ye gates. Be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. A gatekeeper down there has a, who is the King of glory? Now notice the change here. Look at it. The Lord of hosts. He got a whole host with him. And at this moment, every door in the city has been opened up. And Abraham, whoopee, and Isaac and Jacob get to walk in that city that they've been looking for all of their lifetime. Hallelujah! And now, paradise is no longer in the heart of the earth, but has been brought in to the city of the living God. Paul said, I know a man in Christ 14 years ago, whether in the body or out of the body, cannot tell, that was caught up into the third heaven, into the third heaven, into the very paradise of God. Woo! And they walked in. How come? Because Jesus opened up the way with his own blood. Hallelujah! Went back down, my friend, gave some final instructions to his people and told them to tarry till they be endowed with power from on high. Came back, my friend, and Hebrews chapter 1, it says that having obtained eternal redemption for us, he did something. He sat down. Now, what's that got you excited about? Because he's our high priest. And guess what? There's a high priest in the glory world, hallelujah, that can intercede for you and I because he's walked where we walked, and he can talk to God because he is God. I'm glad, hallelujah, that he ever liveth to make intercession for us. That's enough to make an Episcopalian have a spell, bless God. Say amen right there. Oh, I wished I had a little time there. Let me go to another one right quick. Not only the murder of the Lamb, the miracle of the Lamb, but let me say something about the marring of the Lamb. This amazes me. Now, if I understand what I read in John, John said of Thomas, Thomas said, you know, Thomas laid out a service on Sunday night and missed the Lord. Disciples went on the visitation, that program that week, said, Thomas, the Lord showed up and served. Oh, I don't believe that. I wouldn't believe that. It's the only way I'd believe that if I could take my fingers and put them in the print of nails on his hand, thrust my hand into his side. Everything God puts in that book is fair for a purpose. You got to get this. If you don't get anything else I say. The marring of the Lamb. These are marks in his body. They are lingering marks. Even in his glorified body, he shows up the next Sunday night and said, Thomas, reach into your finger. Stick it right there, fella. Side, thrust your hand right there. In his glorified body. In our text, a lamb as it had been slain, still bearing in his human body the marks of redemption. One, I like what Zechariah said, and one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hand? Then shall he answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He is bruised for our iniquities. And by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. I want you to know, but he still bears in his body the marks of redeeming love. Lingering marks. They were law marks. Because he was wounded for our transgressions. And Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances against us, which was contrary to us, took them out of the way, nailing him to his cross. But not only were they lingering marks and law marks, but they're love marks. In the Old Testament, you have the provision made for the bond slave. If a Hebrew servant found himself in straits and had to sell his property and sell himself into slavery to pay his debts, my friend, there was a provision made at the year of Jubilee. There was a provision made, and I think at every 7 years, if I'm not mistaken, that Hebrew slave could be set free. Yeah. But if he'd married a wife, if his master had given him a wife and he'd had children, he could go out, but he couldn't take them with him. They belonged to him. Yeah, I'm just putting a lot of that together. Y'all got to study that and see if it's so. You got to study that now. All right, now, here's the picture I'm looking at. So the provision was made. If that fella said, you know, I'm having it better here than I had, amen, before I come into my master's house. And I love my master. And I love what my master has given me. And I love the wife and the children I have. So I believe I'll just be his bond slave. I'll just be his bond slave. So what they'd do, they would take that man and they'd take him to the doorpost and they'd take an awl and they'd bore a hole in his ear. And he'd be a bond slave. He'd be a servant forever to that man. Now here's the picture I'm wanting to draw from is this. Think about that little lady. Well, Jubilee's rolled around. Tomorrow he gets to go free. Go back to his inheritance and his old way of life. But we can't go with him. We belong to the Master. Gets up that morning. My friend goes out the gate. Goes toward the Master's house. Thought, well, this is goodbye. But to her surprise, in just a little while, he returns back home to her, reaches his arms around her, and she embraces him, and she bends her head over, and she looks and sees that blood. Amen. And sees that wound in his ear. And boy, you know what that wound said? It said, I love you. I don't want to leave you. I want to be with you. I love you. I love you. I love you. 10 million years from now, when we get our chance to come around to the throne and pay homage to the Lamb of God personally, we'll come and we'll see the wounds in his feet. We'll see the prints in his head and the wound in his side. And they're all going to say, you know, I love you. I love you. I want to be with you. I love you. Forever and ever. He'll have those marks. You see, God has forgotten our sin. But he'll never forget Calvary. And we'll never forget Calvary. That's what set us free, the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So they were love marks. Oh, I couldn't finish this message. But you know, you get on that, not only have the purity of the Lamb, but you have the power of the Lamb, having 7 horns. That describes something about his power. Having 7 eyes, that says something about his perception. Then you have, my friend, the procuring of the Lamb. He takes that 7-sealed scroll because he has the right to bear that because he bought it with his own blood. My friend, then you have the praise of the Lamb and all of heaven. Hallelujah. And you and I, hey, did you know what? I'm in this number. I've done been seen here. I think I want to try to practice and get ready. I think it'd do us good to stand all over the house and just get ready. Come on, stand up. Amen. You know what they're saying? Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Woo! Hey, 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 thank God for the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Hallelujah, that He's Lord. He's our Lord. Come on to the music, my brother. We'll sing a little bit tonight of victory. Thank God He purchased us with His own blood. I'll tell you what, I want to say again tonight, I preached last night and tonight on the cross, I felt impressed to. I think we get caught up in a lot of things and we forget how much it costs God to save us. You know, as they're coming, the Bible says we are redeemed, not with corruptible things, with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That word redeemed is lutro.
It means to set free by paying a price. There's two other words translated redeemed in the King James Bible. There's the word agerizo, which means to purchase in the market. And Jesus came down here into this world. He came where we're at, into the market. Hey, you can see old Homer. I mean, you see, brother and sister Gomer, I guess it was. You see in Hosea his love for her. She's there to the slave market. There's a picture there. Jesus came down here, agerizo, and it means the word agerizo, to purchase in the market. Then the other word is exagerizo. It means to purchase in the market and take out of the market. He didn't get me off the slave market of sin to put me back home. He got me out. He took me out and He set me free. In all three instances of the word redeemed, you have the payment of a price. Could I just, Lord, if I went down to Walmart, there's a big old stack of handkerchiefs there, and it said $20, and don't be surprised if they ain't that here by the time Biden gets done with us. You like that? That's all right. There's that pack of handkerchiefs or whatever. Got a price on it. So I look at it, and I say, well, I got this. And to get that, I have to give this for that. He looked on us, hell-deserving men and women, sorry as the day is long. And He knew what it would cost. What I don't understand, brother, He thought we were worth it. You see, it's no little thing He's done. He thought we were worth it. Of course, we don't feel like we're worth it. No wonder we'll sing, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. For Thou hast redeemed us by Thine own blood out of every kindred and tongue and tribe and people. Hallelujah, children. Worthy is the Lamb. Hey, Father, take the word. Minister grace to Your people in Jesus' name. Amen. What are we singing, my brother?